We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you into the program as we start a week that's going to have a whole lot of sports open line. We're going to have full programs the next 3 days. Cardinals opening day on Thursday, and then we'll be back for another full two-hour show on Friday leading into their second game of the year. And we're going to be talking mostly Cardinals baseball over these next 3 days as we really get you set for the season to get underway. Before we go any further, because we told you in sports at 5:45 that we would give you an update on Dylan Carlson's shoulder when we got one, well, we don't have one quite yet. Have not seen anything reported yet from the assembled media who's down in Arizona to talk with Oliver Marmol after the game to see if there's any update on that shoulder issue. It goes without saying that the Cardinals could really not do with any more outfielder injuries. Between Tommy Edman and Lars Nootbaar, each starting the season on the injured list, you never want injuries, but you certainly don't want a bunch of injuries in one spot. That being said, Victor Scott had an impressive spring, and if Carlson is going to miss some time, I think there's some confidence there that you've got somebody in Scott who can come in and contribute right away. We'll just have to, I'm not trying to put the cart in front of the horse here. We'll just have to wait and see what's reported. The fact that it's a shoulder issue, it's his throwing shoulder. If you haven't seen the video of it, he's running and he basically gets tripped up by Jordan Walker, who's kind of diving for a ball, and they had a collision, and he gets tripped up and he goes down hard on his shoulder. And you just hope that it's nothing serious. You don't know. It's not worth speculating about at this point in time. I would assume that at some point in the next 20 or 30 minutes, we'll get a few more details on this, and then we'll go from there. It kind of messed up what I wanted to talk about, though, to open up the show today. Because if you haven't noticed, I haven't been around a whole lot over the last couple weeks, and a lot of things have happened that I certainly wanted to mention. Just very quickly before we get into more right now news, I guess you can say. And the first thing was the decision to go with Dylan Carlson in center field as opposed to keeping Victor Scott on the roster. And there was, as you might expect, there were people who were very upset about that and thought that Victor Scott had earned a job and this is somebody that'd be really exciting and could do some things for the Cardinals. And I'm not even trying to go against that. But I always thought that the only way that Victor Scott makes the roster, barring injury, which now may end up being the case based off what happened today, but if I was talking about this 3 hours ago, the only way that Victor Scott was ever going to make the roster was if Dylan Carlson just completely opened up the door for him to do so. Yeah, I left spring training about 2 weeks ago, and at that point, Carlson was struggling offensively. And that's when we started talking about the possibility that Victor Scott could make this roster. It was around that time that we realized that the Tommy Edman situation was a little bit more serious than anybody thought it was going to be. And you didn't know what center field was going to look like for sure. And then eventually, Dylan Carlson started to hit. to his credit, he started to hit. He started to hit for power. And it really didn't matter at that point what Victor Scott did in spring. Carlson was going to be the guy. The only way you could go with Scott is if Carlson just did not do anything in spring. And Carlson, to his credit, has put together a pretty solid spring. Now, again, he might be injured. He might start the season on the injured list. If he starts the season on the injured list, that changes everything. And we'll have to go from there. The other thing, this is my first time being on the show since the extension for Oliver Marmol. And a lot of people, hands up in the air, going, what in the world are the Cardinals doing extending Oliver Marmol? And I understand the people who feel that way. And I was caught a little off guard by it just based off the fact that everything that had been said publicly leading into that was that the Cardinals were going to kind of let him go into the season in the final year of the extension. So this was a change of course by the organization. And coming off a season like they had last year, fans who are frustrated by that, I understand the frustration. Here's what I would say in response to it. I don't think a lot changes. I understand the idea behind it. The fact that it's a really tough start to the season from a schedule standpoint. And you don't want him feeling the pressure to where it feels like winning now at the cost of winning more games later. Because remember, at the end of the day, your goal is to win as many games out of the 162 as possible. It's not to win as many games in April as possible or win as many games in May as possible. Now, that helps. That helps in a big way. But the goal is to win as many out of 162 as possible. And there's things you do now that can impact you from a positive or negative standpoint later. So just giving him the opportunity, when I say him, Oliver Marmol, giving him the opportunity to feel comfortable with where he's at with the organization to make the best possible long-term, just in the 162-game sense of the season, being able to do that. And look, yeah, they gave him an extension, but I think you would be rather naive to think that if they have another season this year like they had last year, that they wouldn't be able to make a change at the end of the season. That's where I don't think much. You give him the security and the feeling of him being able to move forward and not have that pressure at the beginning of the season of the seat getting warm. But at the same time, if they want to move on from him at the end of the year, it really doesn't matter that they gave him the extension or not. It just costs maybe a few extra bucks to move on. I don't think they're going to move on from him. I think they're going to have a good season this year. I think things are going to start to get back on track, but that's not a guarantee, and we'll just have to wait and see. A lot coming up on the program today, including former Cardinal Hall of Famer Tommy Herr, former Cardinal second baseman. We'll get his thoughts on the Cardinals and his thoughts on the importance of the start of the season. We'll do that coming up in just a moment as we roll on. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
1-2 pitch on the way. Ground ball skips off the mound. To second. Over to first. The double play.
You talk about some antics. The best double play combination in the game right there, folks.
We are getting set for Cardinals baseball. The regular season getting underway on Thursday. One more spring training game to go today. They get a win against the Cubs. Again, we're still waiting to see the status update on Dylan Carlson. He went down with a shoulder issue, and we have not received an update beyond that. One of my favorite things about this time of the year leading the Cardinals season is the various former Cardinals legends that we get the opportunity to talk to on this program, and that certainly qualifier can certainly apply to this man. Very happy to welcome on to the program former Cardinals second baseman Tommy Herr. Tom, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Doing great. Looking forward to opening day. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, what is it like for you as a former Cardinal coming back and just everything that goes along with the beginning of the season?
Well, you know, it's always great to come back, whether it's, whether it's opening day or the Hall of Fame ceremony or whatever it may be. You know, it's great to get back and just experience the city and the excitement and everybody dressed in red. And but opening days are special. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're special for the fans, special for the people that work at the stadium, the players. You know, baseball players are creatures of habit and routine. So typically the opening day routine is a lot different than what guys are used to. But, you know, the excitement kind of outweighs the disruption of the routine. So everybody will be pretty pumped up for that opening day.
Yeah, this year they're going to need it, especially because they're playing out west against the Padres on Wednesday, and then they've got an afternoon game on Thursday for the home opener. I guess any other time of the season that might be a tough thing to pull off, but hopefully for everybody, just the extra juices that go along with opening day.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird schedule there to have be on the West Coast and then have opening day back home. But, it is what it is. I think, the juices will be flowing when they get back into St. Louis and probably won't affect them that much. If that trip happened in the middle of the season, it might be more of a drag. But, early in the season, everybody's fresh, everybody's ready to go, and it shouldn't be a big factor.
How much do you follow along with what the team is doing in terms of the way the roster is built and just all the kind of the news of the day? Do you keep up to date on a day to day basis?
No, not really. I mean, I have the Cardinals, checked off as one of my teams to watch on a couple of these websites. So I get, I get daily news and I will, if it's something that interests me, I'll read it and look at it. But, I'm not really all that plugged into their day-to-day roster moves and, who's doing well in spring training and that kind of stuff. I don't pay that much attention to it, but, I'm optimistic for them this year. I think they have a chance to be good. They're counting on some key young players, and if those guys make the needed step to be able to compete at the major league level like they have in the minor leagues, they should be okay.
Yeah, they do have so many young players in important spots, whether it is a Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Mason Wynn, guys like that. But they made a concerted effort to bring in some veterans to kind of even that out when they bring in a Brandon Crawford and bring back a Matt Carpenter and a Lance Lynn and guys like those. Just generally speaking, how important is it to have those type of veteran guys in a clubhouse when you do have a team that's got a lot of youth that's expected to do big things?
Well, I think it's very important, and especially veteran guys that have won. Like, I think Crawford will be great for the club because, he's a guy that, he's played in like four World Series. He knows what it takes. He knows how to win. And I think he's going to be a great acquisition for him. you know, it's important that the veteran guys really show leadership, because, you know, oftentimes the young guys are afraid to really speak up sometimes, and they just kind of follow along. So it's good to have a good example for them to follow.
We're talking with former Cardinals second baseman Tommy Herr, Cardinals Hall of Famer, spent parts of 10 seasons with the club from 1979 to 1988. It's, when you look back from a defensive standpoint, because we're watching a fairly young guy in Nolan Gorman continuing to progress at that second base position, what does it take? Because he wasn't known for his defense coming up, but so far in spring, as we've watched him, he's looked really good at second, and it feels like he's going to kind of be the guy there. What are the things that you would tell a young player to work on as they continue to try to get better defensively at second?
Well, you know, experience just makes you better. You know, you just get a feel for where certain pitches are going to be hit. You know, you get a feel for, you get to learn the league as you get older and gain more experience, and your positioning's better, and you understand what pitchers are trying to do, when they're trying to set hitters up and so forth. So, I mean, just being out there and gaining experience helps. It's a different game now. You know, it seems like every position is they put a premium on the offense. And so you see a lot of guys that are playing second base these days that really aren't second baseman, you know, they're offensive players. So they try to hide them out there, and they value offense much more so than defense these days. So oftentimes you won't see the quality of infield play that maybe you saw years ago. Comparing to like when Ozzie and I played, you know, obviously, defense was paramount, and, you know, we had a pitching staff that didn't strike out a lot of guys, and we played in a big ballpark, so it was very important for us to be able to catch it and throw it and turn everything into outs. You know, we had great speed in the outfield in that vast outfield at Old Busch Stadium, and great defense on the interior. So, yeah, that was obviously one of the reasons why we won.
We heard that play-by-play clip coming in, and you and Ozzie being referred to as the best double play combination in baseball. What was it? Can you talk to me about the chemistry that you guys had and how much fun it was being able to be part of a double play combination with him?
Yeah, well, when we got Ozzie from San Diego, he was I'm not sure how many years he had in the big leagues at that point. He was playing maybe in his third year or so, but he had already established himself as being special. And I was a rookie, so I was just coming up. And in all honesty, I was just trying to survive. I was just trying to stick in the big leagues. So we didn't really have much of a rapport, you know, the first year or so. Then all of a sudden, in '82, we're in the middle of a pennant race, and we had to grow up pretty quickly. And as we got into the middle '80s and even in towards the late '80s, you know, '85, '86, '87, that's when we really, we had become veteran established players by that point, and we really really knew each other. And I think our play, especially in '85, that's the best year we had, I think, defensively. And we were really clicking by that point. And that was such a great infield. Terry Pendleton was just fabulous at third base. He didn't get the credit that he deserved as quality of third baseman that he was. And Jack was an athletic first baseman. Mm-hmm. Jack was always known as an offensive player, but he really took pride in his defense and became, I think, a better than average first baseman. So that was quite an infield, obviously.
After you left St. Louis, you played with a handful of teams. Did you ever have anything like that on the infield again, or was that a very unique thing to St. Louis and those individuals?
Well, when I got traded to Minnesota in 88, and of course they had just, they had beaten us in the 87 World Series, and they had a really good infield up there too. Herbeck was a really good first baseman. Greg Gagne was a fine shortstop. Gary Gaetti was at third base. So, you know, that was a good infield there too. Then after that, the infields I played in, I was in Philadelphia for a couple of years. That was young. That was a young infield. And then when I went to the Mets, they were in it was a mess over there. They were trying to figure out what to do with Howard Johnson and Greg Jeffries. And it wasn't good. So no, nothing ever compared to, what we had there in St. Louis.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tom, really appreciate you taking some time. It's a lot of fun to talk with you, and we're so glad that you're able to come back to St. Louis. And it's just great to get your thoughts on not just this team, but what opening day and the start of the season means. So thanks so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and let's all hope for a great season in St. Louis this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Cardinals, former Cardinals second baseman, Cardinals Hall of Famer Tommy Herr joining us on the program, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When we return, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us. We're going to do this every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day leading into the regular season opener coming up on Thursday. We're going to talk with Kevin, and we're going to lock in on a different part of the team and how we should evaluate it. We're going to start with starting pitching. So we'll do that coming up in just a moment or so. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
And the fastball hit the deep left field. Way back. Johnson to the wall.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line, live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We do roll on here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley as we take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Hancock and Kelly will be in this evening at 8 o'clock for At Your Service. Going to welcome Kevin Wheeler onto the program in just a moment. Of course, you know Kevin. He used to be the host of this very show. Now can be heard on the DGS and Total Information PM. Just a little disclaimer for you. Kevin and I recorded this about an hour and a half ago, and the news of Dylan Carlson and what the situation was, we didn't know at that time. Thought that it might be maybe a concussion or something when he first went down because he kind of hit his head. Obviously, it's not that. Now it's not just being reported that it's a shoulder. We're hearing shoulder, hip, and ankle. And Carlson is undergoing further examinations to figure out just how serious anything might be. So when we talk about Carlson's injury, we weren't quite all the way up to date on what we know right now at 6:37 p.m. So that being said, let's welcome Kevin Wheeler onto the program. Kevin, appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me, buddy. I'm fired up, man. It's opening week. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. So we'll talk a little bit about starting pitching today just really quickly. We don't have all the details on it quite yet, but during the game today against the Cubs, we saw Dylan Carlson come out of the game. Not quite sure exactly what's going on there. Might be some sort of concussion or something. Didn't look great. I don't know. You're never supposed to speculate on injuries, but it certainly creates an interesting situation where if something's going on that's serious enough that he has to miss the start of the season, all of a sudden the Cardinals have a decision to make.
Yeah, that was a really tough play, man. I guarantee you the critics, the guys that like to over-criticize are going to be out there blaming, Walker for not being good or whatever. That ball was a complete in-between ball. Neither guy got to it, by the way, and neither guy could call that ball because there's no way that either knew or thought that they were going to get it. It was a super difficult play. Walker dove, and actually Walker got there first. He dove. And then Carlson arrived a split second later and tripped over him. And, you're right, Matt. This is a tough one to speculate. I mean, that could be, banged his head. That could be a leg injury. It could be a wrist. It could be a shoulder. I mean, literally could be anything because of the kind of fall that Carlson took, which means we shouldn't try to guess.
Yeah. We'll just wait and see, and we'll know. I'm sure we'll know details sooner than later. What we're doing each day is we're kind of focusing in on one part of the team and wanted to get into starting pitching today. And, you know, I was looking at the rotation today just on paper, and it's incredible how different the rotation looks if you do have Sonny Gray and if you don't have Sonny Gray.
That's a really good way to put it. Well, if you don't, it looks a lot like the makeup of last year's rotation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, swap in Kyle Gibson for either Flaherty or Wainwright, and I'm sure he'll be better than both of them were last year. But, yeah, without Sonny Gray, you look a lot like last year's rotation. So, you know, hopefully it sounds good. You know, it sounds like he's not going to be out very long, maybe a week or two into the regular season. So pretty good news, at least that seems that way. But, boy, you know, you don't want your depth tested this early. And then, you know, beyond these guys, right, beyond Gray, Michaelis, Matz, Gibson, Lynn, and Zach Thompson, who's in there in place of Gray for now, there's not a lot of starting pitching depth. I mean, Liberatore could be, but he's in the bullpen to open the year. So I don't know who's next. I mean, are we banking on Gristoffo and McGreevy there? I didn't see enough from Robursa to think he's in the mix, or Kloppenstein either. Roby's not quite there. Hence is not there. So, boy, I hope nobody gets I hope nobody else gets hurt here in the early part of the year.
Yeah, if they need another starter, I would assume that it's going to be Liberatore coming out of the bullpen. If they decide want to keep him there, then, I mean, does Drew Rahm get healthy and get that chance?
Oh, you know what? He would be a good one, yeah. Yeah, he would probably be next since he's got some big league time.
I would probably be more interested in seeing Gordon Graceffo. I thought he was pretty impressive during the spring. And to me, it feels like at some point you got to see what you have with these guys. And I think most people thought that Graceffo and McGreevy had a good chance of making their big league debuts last year. That didn't happen. There were a ton of opportunities to give them that chance, and it didn't happen. At some point you got to figure it out. And I thought Graceffo looked good in spring, so I would give him that opportunity.
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. I mean, he's got, you know, his stuff took a step back last year from the year before, but he was also hurt a little bit last year. So that could explain that. If the stuff picks back up this year, then that's a guy I'd be interested in.
Yeah, I don't put any stock in most spring training numbers. Guys are working on things like, you know, Sunday. I don't care about that. But all that being said, you know, you can squint to make this rotation look good if you get the best possible scenario with all these pitchers. But it also, like you alluded to it, there in many ways without Gray in there, there's a lot of similarities to last year. And I think the worry about this rotation as we are coming up on the start of the regular season, there's reasons to be concerned about what this group is going to do for you.
For sure, for sure. And it has nothing to do, like you said, it's nothing to do with spring training numbers. What worries me more are the numbers that, like, Lance Lynn put up last year in the regular season, right? What worries me is that Michaelis has been a little bit of a seesaw these last few years, you know, a good year and then an off year. Although I guess if it goes that way, this would be a good year because last year was a little bit of an off year. But it's Steven Matz's history of being inconsistent and missing starts. And you know, with Gibson, there's not a lot of, like, not a lot of worry, but he's a four or five. You know, there's not much upside beyond that. So, yeah, I think there are plenty of things to worry about not related to spring training performance. And the number one of those is making sure Sonny Gray makes as many starts as possible because they need him badly.
And you just don't want that hamstring thing to be something that continues to bother him throughout the year. He dealt with it twice last year. He's dealt with it multiple times over the course of his career. It could just be a nothing burger where it was a small little deal in the middle of spring training. They shut him down. They bring him back slowly, and it doesn't pop up again. But you don't like seeing something like that happen right out of the gate.
No. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, that we want to see him as soon as possible. But, I mean, I'd rather he miss another start and take his time than be pushed. And it sounds like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no indication that anybody's pushing anything faster than it should go. You know, they said from the beginning it was a very mild strain. He was able to start doing work within a few days. And really all it is the 2 weeks that he lost in terms of building up his pitch count. So, you know, as long as everything we're hearing is accurate, and I have no reason to think it isn't, then, you know, I'm not worried about that. As long as they don't – and by the way, when I say they, I don't just mean the team. I also mean the player. You know, he's the new guy. He signed the big deal. I'm sure he's motivated to show out for the new team. Don't let that get in the way of just being physically right. And I don't think he will.
No, I think he understands his importance to this team too. Like he got that money. He came in. He's going to be the ace of the staff. He's the guy who was second in the American League Cy Young Award voting last year. Everybody understands that in so many ways, the success of this year's Cardinals team is largely dependent upon having Sonny Gray making the vast majority of his starts.
Yep, 100%. And then, you know, the other part is something that the team has talked about a lot, which is innings, right? They want Michaelis and Gibson and Lynn in particular. Of course, Sonny Gray, but I mean, after Sonny Gray. In particular, they want those four guys to get them innings, you know, 180, 190, 200 innings for those guys. They think that will help the bullpen perform better. And I'll agree with that, assuming that they're not giving up too many runs. You know, I mean, like, I'm an innings guy. I believe in starting pitchers getting innings. But it's not helping you if the ERA is 5.5 or 6. You know, it's not helping you if the ERA is 5. If they're a 4.5 ERA and you're getting 6 innings every time, you can win that way. That's only 3 runs an outing. I mean, you're in games if your starting pitcher is giving up 3 runs in 6 innings. If that's what it is, that's totally workable. That gives the pen a chance to be what it is. And, of course, this lineup, and I know we'll talk about it later in the week, but the lineup should be good. So, you know, if the pitching, if the rotation is stable, the other parts should fall into place.
Absolutely, 100%. And you know, Miles Michaelis was the one guy who gave you innings last year. It came more late in the season than early in the season. But who's the guy that you would maybe count on to be the second best guy? I know Miles Michaelis is going to make the opening day start, but who is that starting pitcher that maybe you've got the second most amount of confidence behind Sonny Gray?
It's Miles. It has to be. He has to be, for this team to maximize potential, he needs to be the guy that he was in 2022. You know, get that 3.5 ERA, you know, get that, you know, the 190, 200 innings. That works, man. You know, the 4.5 ERA, if that's your number 2, that's not going to be good enough. Heck, no. Even if it's a 4, you know, 4 or 4-1, that's not good enough for your number 2 unless you're just scoring runs like they're going out of style, right? I mean, if you're one of the top 5 offenses in the league, you may get away with that. But I think he is clearly next in line as most important. And I know this might be a weird take, Matt, but the next guy after that might be Zach Thompson.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's going to be in there all the time, and we know he is now, and we know they floated the 6-man rotation in April to make sure they can weather it. But I really want Zach Thompson to pitch so well that if they go back to a 5-man, they can't take him out because he has the stuff that they need. He's got the velocity and the swing and miss breaking ball. He's got the upside. And I don't know that he's going to be that, but I think that would be huge if he is.
That was where I was going to go with you next, because at some point, one of these young Cardinals starters, whether it's Thompson, Libertor, Graceffo, McGreevy, Roby, hopefully not Hintz because he's probably 3 years away. but at some point, one of these guys has to emerge as a legit every fifth day starter for the Cardinals.
I mean, I would argue to maximize your team, you need 2 of them, right? Because I don't mean they need to be aces, right? If 2 of, you know, if during the course of this year, 2 of those guys, let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say it's Thompson and Graceffo. If they show you they can be quality, you know, like reliable bottom of the rotation guys for next year, what does that free you up to do? Right? That means instead of going out and adding 3 pieces to your rotation, you can go add 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously, you know, that's what this team has always been good at. You know, you look at the playoff runs and the way that they built for most of the Mozeliak era, there were always young guys, right? Lance Lynn was that guy at one point. Carlos Martinez was that guy. Michael Wacha was. Jack Flaherty was. And when you have young guys that can just pop in there, and that's not even all of the list, right? That's just the guys that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. Their performances really were a big deal for the team because they were getting excellent performance for very little cost, and that can free you up to do other things. But when you got to go get 3 starters, you can't focus on the top end for more than one of them because you're getting to the point where you're pushing yourself into a tight spot. They need at least 1, if not 2 of those guys to be, yes, sure thing starters for next year. And, of course, if they do that this year, Matt, that's going to bode well for this year, too.
It absolutely, absolutely is. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. We're going to do this each of the next 2 days as well as we go through different parts of the Cardinals and try to preview that. Wheels, always appreciate it. We'll see you in studio coming up tomorrow.
Sounds good, buddy. Have a good night.
That's Kevin Wheeler joining us here on the program. Appreciate him. And again, we're going to talk with him each of these 3 days leading into the season. We'll talk more about Dylan Carlson coming up. We've got a little bit more information, but we're not going to know much until tomorrow. But what we know, you'll know coming up in just a moment or so. Also, we got some college basketball news to get to. A familiar name returning to the state. That's all coming up. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Rolling on, it's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We'll just real quickly, what's being reported by Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. Dylan Carlson has a sore shoulder, a sore hip, and a sore ankle. He is undergoing exams, and more details should be available tomorrow. It sounds like the shoulder part to that is the most notable part. And what these exams say tonight, bluntly, will probably determine whether or not Victor Scott is being told to get himself to L.A. to suit up for the Cardinals on opening day on Thursday. And you would think that all of a sudden he would essentially become the everyday center fielder for the Cardinals if Carlson has to go on the injured list or something like that. It did not look good. We'll get more into it coming up in our next segment. Wanted to touch on a little college basketball. Hopefully you've been enjoying the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It has certainly been interesting and fun. It always is. From a coaching standpoint, locally with SLU, we are still waiting and waiting and waiting to see what's going to happen. All indications are that Indiana State head coach Josh Schertz is going to end up at SLU. There's been some talk about whether or not he might essentially bring his entire team with him from Terre Haute. Stu Durando had something that he tweeted out. It was a newspaper article from somewhere in Indiana where it sounds like the folks at Indiana State are trying to really build up their NIL money this offseason as a way to try to keep that roster together, even if Schertz were to leave. There's other things going on with this, though. Dusty May is now the head coach. Now the head coach at Michigan. He was connected to Louisville. There were some reports out there that the deal was done with Louisville. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. He goes to Michigan. The Louisville job is open. Supposedly, Louisville is interested in Schertz. FAU is near Boca Raton. That's where Schertz is from. So there's, if you're a SLU fan and you really want Schertz to be the guy, I think you want this thing to get wrapped up sooner or later, because every day longer that it goes, it feels like maybe there's other people out there that could potentially talk to him, or maybe they just have a handshake deal already done and he's not going to even listen to any other potential offers. Indiana State is still playing. They're still alive in the NIT. That's part of it. Nothing's going to get done officially until they're done. So continue to watch out for that. And then this is kind of fun. Konzo Martin, he is returning to the state of Missouri and returning to Missouri State, according to a report initially from ESPN. He is in final talks to return to the school. He led the school to their first and only Missouri Valley Conference regular season title in 2010-2011. And after that, he went on to coach at Tennessee, to coach at Cal, and to coach at Missouri. He led both Cal and Missouri to NCAA tournament appearances. The time at Missouri didn't end great just in terms of winning and losing. But a guy who has coached at the highest level, has coached in the Valley, has coached down in Springfield. And to me, this looks like a home run hire for Missouri State if they are able to get it done. It's not yet official, but this is somebody who you think would come in and really be able to raise that pro. Although it's different now. It's different now with NIL and everything else that's going on. That's why bringing in a guy who's got some power conference experience here recently is good, although it's different now than it was, you know, 2 years ago when it comes to NIL and everything. It's different right now than it was a month ago. So everybody is adjusting to the times. All right, we're going to lock back into the Dylan Carlson situation, what it might mean for the Cardinals moving forward if he is out. We're going to do that after the 7 o'clock news. My name is Matt Pauly. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.